And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
Al Yahad Yisrael, Al Shema Yisrael.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, David and Absalom, was written by Irv Tunick.
Sentry, look to the south. Is there any sign?
No, my lord king. There is no sign.
And to the west?
Nothing. I see nothing, my lord king.
At Mahanaim, a city beyond the Jordan, David sat beside the gate and knew massive moments of waiting. This was desolation. This was paralysis of time. These are the hours when time walks with shackled feet, when moments hang inert in space. This is the torment of time, waiting. David had heard it first from Joab. That had been some months before, a good 6 months before.
Absalom is stealing from David the hearts of the men of Israel.
Why should my son steal that which he already owns? Oh, come, Joab. You're an old soldier, and I'm an old king. And we've aged together, the two of us, taking on our years with decent grace. Suspicion and intolerance of youth are symptoms of senility. Beware of them.
I will mark your warning, sire. But in turn, I beg you to mark mine. Beware of Absalom.
This is an unpleasant conversation.
It is unpleasant, but
I will hear no more of it. Never, Joab. Never again will you speak to me in such a way of Absalom. The Prince Absalom, my son.
Absalom was tall, taller yet than David. He had the grace of a panther, the strength of a lion, the handsomeness of a tiger cub. He was the adored of all Israel, and he cultivated well his field. Each morning found him passed by the gate of Jerusalem. Each morning he was there.
Welcome, traveler. Have you come from far? Well, speak up. This is the king's son. This is Absalom.
My lord prince, I have done no wrong.
You are not accused of any wrong. I merely bid you welcome to Jerusalem. What is your name?
My name is Jacob.
And how far have you come, Jacob?
I have come from Sokol, which is in the valley of Elah.
I know it well. My father slew Goliath hard by your town.
Ah, yes. And well, I remember that day. I saw it all. I did. I swear I did.
I do not doubt you.
I was but a child, of course. But I remember my father lifted me high on his shoulders so that I could see above all the others.
Oh?
I will tell you exactly as I saw it. Young David walked toward the camp.
It was a great day for Israel.
Oh, it was. It was. The Philistine host was
captured. How did my father look?
There are no words to describe it. His hair had the gold of a thousand sunsets.
Ah, yes, his golden hair. It is white now, you know.
So, it was gold that day. And he stood straight as a lance. And he walked with the grace of an antelope.
He stoops a bit now. And it is difficult for him to get about without the aid of a staff.
Oh.
Years have rasping teeth, my friend. They grind a man down.
How true, how true.
You come to Jerusalem for business?
I come for justice.
From the king?
From your blessed father. For surely he will see the righteousness of my complaint and decide it all in my favor.
I am sure of it. Any man with eyes can see that you are forthright.
I am.
And honest.
I am.
Truly you are, good Jacob. I wish you well in your business with the king.
You are wonderfully kind, beloved prince.
What little I am permitted to do for my people, I do most gladly. I wish I could do more.
Stand where you are. Come no closer.
I would speak with the prince.
Let him by, guard.
Justice. I ask justice.
Have you been before the king, my father?
Against me. He decided against me.
After hearing all the facts.
He listened not to the facts. As I spoke my case, a minister whispered to him in one ear about some tax-collecting matter in Jezreel, while on the other side he listened to a military report from a captain just returned from Gibeon. I spoke, and I swear, sweet Absalom, nothing but the walls of his chamber felt the touch of my words.
It is so always. He is overwhelmed by the tasks of his kingship. There is that, and there is the other thing.
The other thing?
Time is a river that leaves behind the silting in the brain. It is the saddest thing to behold. I weep for my father, the king.
Your tears, dear prince, will not bring a poor man justice.
Is there more I can do?
You judge my case.
I cannot do it, Jacob. I have no such authority. Time and again I have offered myself to my father as a servant to ease his tasks, to take upon my shoulders the burdens that his high age makes so unbearable. But he will not allow it. I, the son of the king, have less to say of the business of this kingdom than the lowest beggars in the street. For truly, they can complain and I cannot. They can cry out and I cannot. I am imprisoned by my closeness to the king.
It is a prison without bars.
What do you mean?
I think you know well what I mean.
I take it you are my friend?
I am your servant, Absalom.
To all ends?
I swear it.
Go back to Sokol in your quiet valley. If you think it wise, speak of this to those whose trust you value. But softly.
Very softly.
And wait.
How long?
Not long. Sooner than you think.
Joab.
My lord king.
I am worn to weariness by my work. Sit beside me. What shall we talk about?
What I wish most to talk about, I am commanded not to say.
Oh, come, Joab. You are long past the sulking age. It does not become you.
Perhaps.
Let us have a feast of old-time talk. I'm in the mood for it. Serve me up a banquet of memories. Tell me again of our past victories together, our triumphs together, our battles fought and our enemies slain. Give me an accounting of our friendship, Joab.
The other day, for no reason, I thought again on Helam.
Helam. Remember that day, Joab? Remember how the host of Hadadezer marched out to battle? Chariots, horsemen. 40,000 on foot.
50,000 at least.
We stood together on a rising and saw them all. The valley below, a sea of Syrians. Now from far off, the trumpets.
The attack.
The chariots, the sweeping on the flank.
Abishai will hold fast.
The horses on the charge toward the center.
There stand the Giborim.
The charges turn back.
They flee.
After them, Joab. Not one shall escape.
Not one.
The enemies of the Lord and all that rise up against his people, so shall they be smitten.
And so it was.
How wonderful is the construction of man. For though we seem puny as against the elevation of mountains and the broad sweep of plains, yet within us is a material upon which can be sculptured every incident of a lifetime. The whole pageant of a million marvelous moments. All life is the hoarding of recollection.
My lord king!
Yes, what is it?
Young man Absalom asked for audience with the king.
We will see our son.
I ask permission to depart.
Stay, stay. What business Absalom has with me is not of an urgent privacy.
His fortnightly allowance has been overspent, or perhaps his heart is set upon some fancy armor that I must order from Damascus.
Which you will do.
Most probably. He is my eldest son. My eldest son.
The king's son, Absalom.
Do I interrupt a conference of state?
Not at all.
I come to ask permission of my father to leave Jerusalem for a short journey to Hebron.
Hebron? What business takes you to Hebron, Absalom?
A vow I made some years ago to sacrifice at Hebron as a token of thanksgiving for all the blessings that are mine.
By all means, go. You have my warrant.
Thank you, Father.
Absalom.
Joab?
How do you travel on this journey? Alone?
Alone?
It is customary on a pious mission for a pilgrim to walk alone.
I go with my entourage.
Ah.
It is not right for the son of the king to travel in the land without the impressive fittings of his station.
So, and how large are your fittings?
200 men.
Most impressive. With chariots?
Yes, with chariots.
And fully armed?
Most certainly. Would you have them without arms? Perhaps without clothes at all? Would that satisfy the general? The son of the king and a naked retinue. That such a display would impress the people, I have no doubt. But whether one might call such an exhibition impressive is quite another thing.
Quite.
Come, enough of this. Go with my blessings, Absalom.
Thank you, sir. I have the blessings of my father. Do I also have the blessings of my father's friend?
If you go as you say you go, Absalom, to do that which you say you intend to do, you have my blessing.
Thank you.
I see myself in his walk, Joab, in the carry of his shoulders, in the glint of his eyes.
Look deeper, David.
Deeper?
Below the skin line that makes you see in Absalom the David of your youth. What do you see in his heart?
I see my son.
Blindness.
Joab.
David, you are more the father than you are the king. Think out this thing, I beg of you. If you were but a farmer, a shepherd still, this blind indulgence could have explanation, for then the evil would be of your house alone, a sorrowed father, a wayward son. Sad, sir, but unimportant. But you are king, and your sorrow becomes the pain of all your people. The mischief of your son becomes the anguish of all Israel. Indulgence in any father is a sin. Indulgence in the king is a crime against the state.
Get out. Get from my side.
Mark my words, David.
There is murder in my heart, Joab. Get out. Get out!
Not dawn yet, hardly more than midnight. The sky, a jet-black bowl of marble scratched here and there by a star, and the land inundated with silence. Then far off, a bare hint of movement. Hoofbeats churning through the blackness, the panting of a horse, the scream of sound tearing loose the silence. Alarm! Alarm!
Open the gates! Open the gates!
What is the news?
Take word to the king! Let it be known to David that Absalom is king in Hebron!
Abishai.
Joab, thank God you come.
Is the news true about Absalom?
It is true.
And the king knows?
He knows.
What does he say?
Listen to him. Ever since the messenger brought the first tidings from Hebron, he has refused admittance to everyone, even his closest counselors. He is alone.
Tell me of Absalom.
It is a short tale to tell, but one thick with treachery.
True enough, he went to Hebron, but few knew his real intentions.
He had with him 200 of his friends.
These were sucked innocently into the conspiracy. The first they heard of it was when the trumpets blew, and the heralds announced that Absalom was king in Hebron.
Well, at least we've flushed the foxes into the open. Are the troops at their stations?
The walls are fully mounted.
Good. Let them come. We will have a rousing greeting for Ahithophel and Absalom.
Yes.
You sound more melancholy than the occasion demands, Abishai. You worry for Absalom?
No, not for the king's son, but for the king. Listen to the anguish of David.
It was not an open enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God with the throng.
Another troop of men on the southern gate, Abishai, and sentries every 20 feet along the wall.
I will give the orders.
The king comes!
My lord king.
Joab.
The troops are at their station.
I see. Call them off.
David.
Down from the walls, all of them. We march by morning.
March? Where? To Hebron?
As far from Hebron as we can go. We march to Mahanaim, beyond the Jordan.
Beyond the Jordan, we flee, hide, dig ourselves a hole behind the Jordan? Why?
I command it.
In all my years, I've never ordered a retreat. Why do you ask me now to change? We can stand upon the walls of Jerusalem forever.
Dear friend, listen. Be patient with me and listen. I've spent solemn hours in prayers and fasting, and I have had a sign. The young man Absalom is my eldest, and one day he will sit upon my throne.
Never!
Be quiet. Listen on. The role of king is not a simple one to play, Joab. It takes wisdom. And wisdom is a thing born of experience. My young man is untested. His competence for majesty is unknown. This is, I think, an examination of his talents for rule. I'm curious to know how he will respond. If he is a good king, he will measure each situation, compute each danger, gauge each decision with a touch of talent that distinguishes a sovereign of a people from a master of slaves. This is his test.
I would test him here, from these walls, with arrows and steel.
I'm afraid the keenness of your generalship has been dulled, good Joab. Here in the city would be the worst place to stand. For here we would shut out Absalom less than we would shut ourselves in. Beyond the Jordan we will watch, have time for friends to gather by our sides, call in our allies. That is the way a king resolves a problem.
I would give the orders.
Good. I am most eager, Joab, to see how the young man Absalom, who seeks to be king, will survive the test of kingship.
Of the months that followed now, little need be said. At Mahanaim, the city beyond the Jordan, an old king and an old soldier watched a young king cavort.
My lord king, a messenger has just arrived from Jerusalem.
How goes my son?
As a peacock goes, with a fine strut and fancy tail, he comes marching.
Has he left Jerusalem?
He and that abundance of beggars he calls an army.
How many men?
100,000.
And we have?
20,000.
Fair enough odds.
I could ask no better. We will wait until his horde seek a crossing of the Jordan. Then we strike.
I think not.
You will permit him passage of the river?
By all means, he must cross the river.
This strategy is beyond me.
I want no inconclusive battle. Not half a victory, Joab. I want no mere fraction of success. I want the final, unalterable end to this farce which has given me so much pain. If this is a lesson in kingship, and let us make it truly a majestic lesson.
Then why not attack upon the river?
Suppose we do. Suppose we attack upon the river and half of the army of Absalom is trapped, annihilated, finished, done, wiped out. What then? Still half would be left to crawl up the west bank, escape, take root. I will not have it.
What if they cross?
If they cross, all of the host of Absalom cross. Then we have them. For their path must cut through the forest of Ephraim, thickly wooded, a place where each tree becomes our ally, each boulder a comrade in arms. There we will strike.
And wipe them out.
All but one.
To the last man!
Except for one. Joab, this is the last order of the king.
Deal gently for my sake with the young man. Even with Absalom, who is my son.
They run like frightened deer.
After them, Abishai. Not one must escape.
No, never a day like this. Never a battle like this.
Send the company of the Giborim into the marshes. Hunt out every rat that seeks refuge there.
I will give the command. Sir, the king's son.
Absalom, where? Have you seen him?
He's in the thickest of the forest.
Alone?
Yes, alone.
Which way does he run?
He does not run.
Is he slain?
Not slain.
Tell me of Absalom.
Sir, he was on his mule, fleeing from the fight. He rode wildly, crazed with fear. Suddenly the animal dashed beneath a terebinth tree, and I swear to this, the arms of the tree descended, grasped Absalom by his matted hair, and lifted him full off the mule. And even now, it dangles between sky and earth. I saw this.
You saw this and you let him live?
Sir, I would not put my hand against the king's son. The king has charged us all that none shall touch the young man Absalom.
Take me to the place. Take me to Absalom.
There.
Give me a dart.
Sir.
Give me a dart.
The king's orders.
I have no memory for such an order.
David waited. Beside the gate of Mahanaim, David waited.
My lord king, runner from the south.
From Ephraim.
I am a lord from Ephraim.
Now the last few drippings of time, the longest of seconds, the hanging moments.
When he was a child, we would play great games together. He upon my lap would be a warrior. And how his eyes would flash, his laughter ring. But imaginary armies moved at his command. He was in the van of each sortie. He led each charge. He single-handed speared the victory. Oh, Absalom, you are yet a child. Absalom, you are yet my child.
The runner is at the gate! The Lord King!
What is the news?
All is well. The Lord has avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee.
Sound the trumpet! Give the order for the trumpet!
King, he sits like a statue.
Tell me, is it well with the young man Absalom? Answer me. Is it well with the young man Absalom?
The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is.
Oh, my son Absalom. My son Absalom. Would I had died for thee. Absalom, my son.
If you'd like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Simon Novick of the Park Avenue Synagogue of New York City. Rabbi Novick.
The drama we have just heard is a vivid portrayal of a tragic chapter in the life of the most picturesque figure in ancient Israel. David the king, after a long life full of achievements, discovers that his oldest son, Absalom, has revolted against him. What reaction should we expect from the old king? Surely anger, bitterness, and revenge against this treacherous action. But David somehow seems incapable of vindictiveness against a personal enemy. His only concern throughout this great rebellion is for the welfare of his son. Deal gently with the young man, he orders Joab, even with Absalom, who is my son. And when victory is won and Absalom is killed, his grief is deep and compelling. We have here, I believe, a vivid illustration of the lack of hatred and vengeance in the Jewish character. The early Jewish heroes were all men of great indignation. Moses was indignant against the Egyptian taskmaster. Elijah against the Baal worshippers on Mount Carmel. The prophets from Amos to Malachi against every form of injustice. But it was indignation against evil, not hatred against the evildoer. Resentment against an injury, not retribution against the perpetrator. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart, is the injunction of the Bible. And the Jews, though victims of the great hatred, have in some mysterious manner themselves never succumbed to it. In the world of today, living as we do in the day of the shadow of international hatreds and mass hysteria, we would all do well to learn this lesson of indignation without hatred, victory without vengeance. We moderns have learned how to fly through the air like birds and how to swim under the ocean like fish. Let us now learn, all of us, to walk the earth like men, in love and compassion, to build bridges of understanding between ourselves and our fellow men. Let us remember that if this world is out of joint, then, to use Hemingway's fine phrase, we are all a piece of the whole, a part of the main. Let us join the human race, for on its survival depends our future.
Thank you, Rabbi Novick. Our eternal light drama today, David and Absalom, was written by Irv Tunick. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical music. Featured were Santos Ortega as David, Leon Janney as Absalom, and Alexander Scrooby as the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Arthur Gary speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.